length. Let's get started. Okay, that was a little bit of a long delay. I apologize about that. But let's get started. So what I wanted to do is just one last word on Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin and then move into Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches, or at least do some like basic introduction of Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches. Kuf Tzadi Ches is much longer than Kuf Tzadi Zayin, as you can plainly see. Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches, Dine Tvila V'chatzi Tzasa Ubo Mem Ches Si'ifim, as opposed to the five Si'ifim that we just had in Kuf Tzadi Zayin. But the last thing Kuf Tzadi Zayin to discuss, I'd like to discuss, is the Ramah in Sif Gimel. The Ramah in Sif Gimel says, "Va'kalos hatovlos kodem achulba yicholos litbo biyom tahalobot in etzalachas and adalayla avalarachab achar achulba dinun kishar noshin." That even though we generally are concerned about Srachbita and we don't allow women to be tovel during the day, but a kala who's being tovel before the chuba could be tovel biyom because she's not going to be with the chasen until nighttime. She's not even going to be married until nighttime. So, but once the chuppah is already over, then it's dinan kishar nashim. Then she has the same halachic status as anybody else, and that's the minhag, that kala before the wedding typically goes to the mikvah during the day. The minhag is usually that it's not on the day of, you know, the wedding itself, which typically will go to the mikvah during the day. So the Shach and Siv Katan Tes points out over here, Va'akalos, Nira Dahinu Davka L'Didon Shakalos Enim Tovlos B'Shvi'i. That's according to us where the Kala doesn't go on day 7. V'chein Mashma Ariel Sham Demayri B'Kei Agavna Ava B'Makam Shakalos Tovlos B'Shvi'i O L'Didon Im Iro La Tevila B'Shvi'i K'gon Shem Neskalkala B'Mei Svi Rasa Dos Tovelos Niyad Be'achar Shiva So the
Shach would not allow Tefillah B'Yom Zayin even for a Kala, because it's what the Rama is telling you, says the Shach, is that we waive Srach Bita for a Kala. But he's not telling you that we're going to waive Shema Tishamish Vitira Vitistar for a Kala. That we're not going to waive, even though she's not really married yet, so she's not going to be Mishamish until later on. So that's what the Shach says. However, the Pisgei Tshuva over here in Sivkat and Yud quotes a Dagal Mirvava, and he writes as follows. Sivkat and Yud, Ayin Beravah, Mashtam al Shach, Ayin Dagal Mirvava, Shisi Gamken al Shach Bezeh, Vikosav, Debishasad Chak, Nira Lahokel, Af Biyom Shvi'i. Avalbof, and Shlo Yamidu Achupa, I'd say so khav mamish avlaham la khupa biyom lisma khashin im yachtem os ma dalayla lo mahani bza. So he says the Dagum Ravava says Nadvida allows Tvila biyom zayin, but the khupa has to be after tesak khavim, and it's not good enough to have the yichud after tzeis, you gotta have the chuppah after tzeis hakochavim, right? That's what it seems, that the chuppah itself has to be after tzeis hakochavim, but to have the chuppah b'yom and just rely that the yichud is going to be after tzeis hakochavim, lo mahani baza. Then he quotes Ayin Tshuva Sabadon Yavizkeni Panam Iros Shachal Gam Kenal Shach Achodim Arabogar Vade Osir Makom Shagul Litbol B'Zayin Avim Akalalo Yigiz Manaliros. Fine. So he says a lot of Achronim reject the Shach. So in the Tshuva addressing whether there is such a minhag to never have Kiddushin at night, where Rabbi Kivega strongly rejects the idea and shows that there are many, many places where we assume Kiddushin could be done at night, even though we generally don't allow a get at night, even though Rav Henkin used to do gittin at night, Agav. Generally speaking, we don't allow a get at night. Rav Henkin used to do a get at night since he had a full-time job. He was working for Ezra's Torah, so he held that he was not allowed, even though he was the biggest Masada gittin of his time in America, he held that you had to forego the chumrah of not doing gittin at night, because he had a job and he couldn't take off time from his job. So he would do gittin at night typically. But generally speaking, there's a minhag not to do gittin el chumra, not to do gittin at night. So Rabbi Kivager discusses in a tshuva, and tshuvas Rabbi Kivager, Madura Tinyana, Simen Ayin Aleph, whether there's also such a minhag of not to do kiddushin at night. That kiddushin should dafka be done during the day. It would ruin a lot of weddings if we had such a din, not to do kiddushin at night. So Rabbi Kivager writes, that it's roi v'nachon to do kiddushin b'yom, v'minu g'ir b'shvil tvilas hakala
Faraskimu b'shut avod sagashuni simchav b'shut panamirus chel beisim dal b'tfaras l'moshav aruch mishar v'sidre tara dumuteres litbo b'yom zayin achar anei tachama delo kashach mikol makom im minog hi'ir b'shvila tevila nir de kiblu aleim lahach mir kedas hashach ein l'shamus min hagam delo gar midvar mamutar v'achem nogam emisim rachid d'gudushim v'layla ein kpedal kol kach. Meaning, he seems to be assuming that if they did the tevila b'yom, they would also do the chuppah b'yom, and he presumably is assuming that they would just delay the yichud until laila. So even though the Pesachim Tshuva went out of his way to say, look, you could do the tevila b'yom as long as the chuppah happens b'laila, not enough to just have yichud b'laila. The chuppah must be b'laila or b'kiveger, and the Tshuva seems to assume that no, the chuppah would be when you did tevila b'yom, the chuppah was also b'yom. It was yichud that was b'laila. So essentially you have three shitos. You have the shach that says, no tevila b'yom zayin ever. You have the panami iros and the dog Mervava that say yes tevila b'yom, but only if you can guarantee the chuppah is going to be at night. And then you have Rabbi Kiveger who says tevila b'yom, chuppah b'yom, yichud only b'layla. You got to hold off on the yichud until layla. This comes up every once in a while. Rabbi Willa tells a story about once from Rabbi Lipschitz was Masada Kiddushin El Chasana, and it turned out that the kala had to go to the mikveh. Rabbi Willick said he knew because he was dealing with the Shaila at the time. He must have been very young Rav at the time. And he knew that it was otherwise going to be a Chuppas Nidah, so they had to do the Tevila B'Yom Zayin on the day of the wedding. I mean, they just messed up. So it ended up that Tevila B'Yom Zayin was on the day of the wedding. And so he remembers Rav David sitting at the Chassas Tish, Nach a Nigin, you know, he's just going one Nigin after another, just extending the Chassas Tish by an extra hour or something beyond what it was supposed to go, so that the chuppah would be. And everyone's like, wow, Rav David is in such a cheerful mood tonight, and he's ruining these people's weddings because he's in such a cheerful mood. No one understood like why he was extending the chazan stitch for an hour. But that's what he did in order to make sure that the chuppah was at night. Maisa Shaya Kachaya, just a second. Maisa Shaya Kachaya, probably about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I was teaching a chazan. It was before my wife became a kala teacher. My wife was not teaching a kala. I forgot who the kala teacher was already. And the chassan said to me, called me up in a panic a week before his wedding, and he said that he was schmoozing with his kala a week before the wedding, and he just mentioned to her, you know, chassan and kala sometimes talk about hilchos nida related issues. So he mentioned to her, he said to her, oh, how's the Shiva Nakim going? Everything going okay? You having an okay time with it? And she's like, Shiva what? And he's like, what? She said, I never heard Shiva what? He's like, Shiva Nakim, you know, the seven clean days, the checking. She's like, no, that's after you get married. And he's like, no, it's also before you get married. And like, that's how you get to go to the mikvah. She's like, I don't know. So the chassan called me in a panic. It was a week before the wedding. She had no idea she was supposed to do Shiva Nikim. She had no idea she was supposed to do Medikos. She had no, and it was a week before the wedding. So I called the kala teacher. The kala teacher's like, what an idiot. How did she not pay attention? How did she miss, like... So kala teachers typically, by the way, nowadays, will call the kala, like when they're supposed to do a hafzatara, to just a reminder, do your hafzatara, and then they'll call, you know, to remind to do bedikos, give a little chizuk and a little, but this is why, right? So she right away did a hafzatara, and turned out that because of that, day 7 of Shiva Nakiyim was the wedding day. So, okay, what are you going to do? So now you have the shaila. She was going to go to the mikvah on the wedding. We'd rather let her go to the mikvah on day 7 on the wedding day rather than have a chuppas nida and figure out later how she's going to go to the mikvah. So we have the shaila. According to the shach, no good. She can't go. You have to wait till after the wedding. You do chuppas nida and you wait till after the wedding. She's going to the mikvah then. According to the pischi tshuva, she can go, but then the chuppah has to be after tzeisa kuchavim. And according to Rikveger, she can go, and the chuppah could be before Tzeis HaKuchavim as long as the yichud is after Tzeis HaKuchavim. So I remember the way it played out was that Rav Naftali Yeager was a Masada Kiddushin. He's Rashiva Shayashiv boy, he's a Shayashiv boy, he's a DRS then Shayashiv boy. So Rav Naftali Yeager was a Masada Kiddushin, and Rav Yeager said that the chuppah cannot start until 50 minutes after Shkia. That's Tzeis HaKuchavim, it's 50 minutes after Shkia, that's when the chuppah begins.
The wedding was in June, which means that Shkia was 8:30, so the chuppah started at 9:20. It was a 6 o'clock wedding. Chuppah started at 9:20. It was one of these Brooklyn wedding halls where normally it's like boom, boom, boom. You know, you're out of there by 9:20. But no, but because they were running it as a normal wedding, everyone was sitting at the chuppah at 7:15. And the chuppah started at 9:20. So, like, I knew what was going on. Rabbi Yeager knew what was going on. Nobody else knew what was going on. And I heard people, like, whispering to each other, do you think someone got sick? Do you think the kala ran away? I would run away. You know, like all sorts of Lashon Hara, you know, that gets spoken at the chuppah. And then finally it started at 9:20. So I was pretty, you know, shaken up by that. So I asked Rav Shechter afterwards, you know, if Rebbe was Masada Kiddushin, what would you do? And he said, I would have said that they shouldn't go into the Yichud room, meaning make it like Rebbe Kiveger, until 25 minutes after Shkia. Well, that's a big difference, right? Meaning, first of all, defining Tseis as 25 minutes after Shkia rather than 50 minutes after Shkia, right? That's a huge difference in terms of defining Tseis. And Yichud room rather than beginning of Chuppah. And oftentimes, that's quite a difference, right? Chuppah sometimes take quite a while, and then the dancing back from the chuppah to the yichud room, much to Rav Shechter's chagrin, takes a while also. Rav Shechter is much more into meritzin as a chasam as a kala. You run them out of the chuppah, the Michael Fagan move. You run them out of the chuppah. Yoni Kirsch asked me if you should do it. I'm like, I don't know if anyone could do it besides my fake. Like, you can do what you want. But so it takes a while. So that would have been a huge difference. Anyway, yeah. So question. Yeah.
So would it be an avenue for Spartan to go to either
way? Yeah, Lechora would be a huge enough community. If Spartan are willing to rely on Rebbe Kiveger, they could have the whole wedding, right? They could do it on time and not worry about a thing. Lechora.
Doesn't the Lashon of the Shach not really fit with the Ramah? Because the Ramah says the reason we're Mekel is because Lulban eats Lachasan ad Halayla. That doesn't really make sense because Shach Bita, that seems to be explaining why.
Yeah, it's difficult. I think Shach is really arguing. I think that's why all the Achron disagree with the Shach.
In such a case, Lachasan can't see the Kala at all?
It's hard to say can't see the Kala, because they do, but that can, right? Okay, they still take pictures before the wedding? It's a dude, but that can, I don't know.
I was an aide at a wedding once, but I wasn't supposed to be an aide, but on the spot, Rav Soloveitchik was in Masada Kiddushin, and he asked me to be an aide, and I don't know.
The Masada Kiddushin chose the aide?
Well, for this reason, he asked if I could stay till the end of the wedding to be an aide for Yichud. I don't know if this, I assume it's because he passed me.
Oh, really? I mean, you have no idea what happened.
I don't know.
You just know Rabbi Soloveitchik said it stayed at the end.
And did you put that?
And you never asked. What?
So you have to ask.
Yeah, we gotta ask. When we should start up Tuesday. I should reach out to, right? We should start up Q&A again for Rabbi Soloveitchik on Tuesday. Okay, let me reach out to him. That'll be the first question. Yeah. What was the deal when you asked me to stick around? Yeah, it's a good question. That's all right, we got to find out. Okay, we'll definitely put that.
And the chuppah was earlier. It was just the yichud that they
waited for. Right, you know, that makes sense. Meaning that would be like Rosh Hashanah, like Rosh Hashanah, that would make sense. Okay, let me know. I'm not going to be here on Tuesday, but be on the plane. But remind me also to reach out to Rabbi Soloveitchik to try to get it going again this Tuesday. Okay. All right, good. So that's Simen Kuf Tzadi Zayin. So now we move on to Simen Kuf Tzadi Ches. So just today, all I really want to do is like a basic introduction to Chatzitza. The Kuf Tzadi Ches will take us a little while. There's a lot of very Nogei Alamaisa kinds of things over here. But just a little bit of introduction. The Sifra in Parshas Emma is quoted by the Beis Yosef over here that says, Aki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim uva Hashem shvetem. Ma b'yas shem sho kulo ke'echod. Meaning that the entire body, by tvila, the entire body has to be immersed all at one time. And if you later find the chatzitza, you can't just re-dip that limb.
You know, you have to go. The only way tefillah is going to be kosher is if the whole body is being dipped at one time. So if a person is afraid of putting their whole body under the water, they can't dip half of their body under the water and then go dip the other half of their body under the water. It doesn't work that way. Unlike, let's say, with kashering kelim, right? If you're kashering a kli, so you could kasher if it's a very large kli and it doesn't fit entirely into the pot that you're kashering in, so you can kasher half the kli and then put the other side and kasher the other half of the kli. But to put the whole thing, but when it comes to tevila, not just tevila of a woman, tevila is kelim also, tevila has to be kulo ke'echad. You can't do it in pieces. You need to do tevila all at one time. The Gemara in many places, Sukkah Davav is where it's most famous from in yeshivas, because that's the yeshivish of Masechta, at least the Kayitzman kind of Masechta. So the Gemara Masechta Sukkah in the first parak, and in Nida Samach Zayin and Beis, which is its primary location, and in Masechta Seirivin as well, Davdalin, the Gemara tells us that Amar Rav Yitzchak Dvar Torah, Rubo Umakbir Olav Chotzeitz, that the only thing that's a Chotzeitz Midaraisa is if it's something that covers the majority of the body, and there's makbid. V'sheinu makbid alav eino chotzeitz. If you're not makbid, and we'll have to define those terms, then it's not a chatzitza. V'gazra, rubo sheinu makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid, v'almidra ha-makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. And the Chacham made a gzera, one or the other is enough to ruin a tevila. If either the chatzitza covers the majority of the body, or the chatzitza is something that a woman's makbid about, that's a chatzitza midrabanan. Midaraisa, it's only chatzitza if it's both. Frek the Gemara, v'ligzer nami al miyuto she'eno makbid, mishum miyuto ha-makbid. Why don't we make a gzera even on a miyut she'eno makbid, on something that's on a very tiny part of the body that she has no akbada on, that she would always love to have it there, that doesn't bother her at all. We should make a gzera that that too is a chatzitza. Inami shum rubo she'eno makbid. Higuf a gzera v'ananekum v'nigzer gzera. The gzera, the Gemara says, we can't, we're simply not authorized to make such a gzera, because the whole idea of a rubo she'eno makbid and a miyut ha-makbid are itself only a gzera. So the chamda aren't authorized to make a gzera ligzera and say that a miyut she'eno makbid is also going to be a chatzitza, and therefore we're not allowed to make such a gzera, which we have to file that away, because when we deal with the Ramah, where the Ramah says that Ashkenazim are machmir, even about a miyut she'eno makbid, we're going to have to deal with the question of what's going on? How are Ashkenazim even allowed to be machmir like that? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's gzera l'gzera, you're not allowed to make a gzera l'gzera. But before we get to any of that, I saw in, again, the Sefer Meshiv Nefesh, in Siman Mem, he has a very nice chakira in understanding the psul of chatzitza, and he goes through many of the dinim of chatzitza in trying to provide nafkaminas in his chakira. And what he says is as follows, that there are two possibilities to understand why it is that a tevila with chatzitza is ineffective. Why is it that a tevila with a chatzitza does not work? However you define chatzitza, let's assume midoraisa. A woman goes to the mikvah wearing fully dressed, right? So it's rubo umakbid. She's wearing a wedding gown or something. So it's rubo umakbid. If it's very loose clothing, then it's probably not a chatzitza at all because the water could get under it. But let's assume it's a tighter kind of clothing and it's not covering her entire body. It's not kulo, but it's rubo. It's makbid because she doesn't always want to be wearing a wedding dress. Like if she's cleaning the house, it's not comfortable to do so wearing a wedding dress. Or if she's doing anything but getting married, it's not so comfortable to do so when you're wearing a wedding dress. So, okay, so that would be considered makbid, and it's rubo. So you have rubo and makbid. It's a chatzitza midaraisa. So why is it that if she decides to jump in the mikvah wearing a wedding dress, she thought it would be a funny picture or whatever. So why is it that that's not considered a tevila? So that the tevila is not kosher. So there are two possibilities to understand it. It could be that it's not a tevila. There's no shame tevila. It's ki'ilu she didn't enter the mikvah. That loses the shame tevila entirely. Or it could be that no, there is a tevila, but that's not a tevila that has the capacity to be metayer. It's a tevila with a chatzitza, and a tevila with a chatzitza is not going to be metaher. That's the two ways in lamdas to understand. We have to see if there's any nafkamina, but those are the two ways in lamdas to understand. That there is a tevila, it's just the tevila is not olula, it doesn't work to be metaher, or that there's no tevila at all. It's mafkia the shame tevila. Chatzitza is mafkia the shame tevila entirely. It's as if she stayed at the edge of the pool and didn't jump in. She didn't go in to the mikveh at all. So there is a machlokas rishonim as follows. The Torah writes, Tzricha shetitbol kol gufa bepamachas, that you have to be told the entire body at once. And therefore, you can't have any chatzitza. Now, the Achronim point out that he seems to be conflating two totally separate dinim. Right? Tzricha that shetitbol kol gufa pamachas means, like we were discussing before, you can't do it in piecemeal. You can't have, you know, dip one arm and then dip the other arm and then dip her head and then dip a leg and then dip another. Right? You got to do it all at one time. The din of chatzitza is she does it all at one time, but there's a chatzitza on her body, right? So what does chatzitza have to do with not doing it all at one time? So he's saying two different dinim, that you need to double the entire body at once, and second, that there can't be any chatzitzas. So the Beis Yosef explains that the Torah is emphasizing to teach that if you tovled with a chatzitza, you might have thought, okay, I went to the mikveh, I then found the chatzitza on my arm, I found a band-aid on my arm, so good, take off the band-aid and dip my arm in the mikveh again. So that's why the Torah is saying that since you might have thought that the way to solve a problem of a tefillah with a chatzitza is just remove a chatzitza and then put that aver back in the mikveh again, put that arm back in the mikveh again, so kamashlan, the Torah wants to be very clear that no, whenever a tefillah is going to be kosher, it needs to be kol gufo. So he's not saying that the chatzitza is a psul in kol gufo, the chatzitza is a psul in chatzitza. But when you try to remedy that psul, when you try to remedy that psul by being tovel, again, you got to make sure that then you do kol gufo. That's how the Beis Yosef understands. However, that's probably not the simple reading of the Torah. It could be that the Torah is teaching me the lumdus of chatzitza, that we view chatzitza as if you haven't been tovel kol gufo, meaning that the lumdus of chatzitza is such that if there was a chatzitza on one of the limbs of your body, then it's a violation of tzricha shetitbol kol gufo b'pamachas, because it's considered that you didn't have a tevila b'chlal. So he puts chatzitza together with the need to dip the entire body, because toveling with a chatzitza is the same as leaving a limb out of the mikveh. So it's not a tevila that didn't work. It's not a shame tevila b'chlal. That could be how one ought to read the Torah. Again, it's not the way the Yosef reads, but that could be the way one should read the Torah. The Rambam, in Hilchos Mikvos Perek Aleph Halach Yud Beis, just a moment, the Rambam writes about a tevila with a chatzitza. The Rambam writes a lashon lo olsa lehen tevila. Lo olsa lehen tevila. Mashmaos of that is that there was a tefila, but it was lo olsa. It didn't work as a tefila should work. Meaning there was a tefila, it just didn't count. You could be medayik this way. He points out in from the Rambam Yisuri Bia Parakir Alav Halacha Tazayin. The Rambam writes Yisuri Bia Yud Alav Tazayin Ein Ha'isha Ola Mitumasa V'yotzi Midei Erva Ad Shetitbol B'mei Mikvah Kosher. A woman is not tahor until she dips in a kosher mikvah. And you can't have anything chotzeitz between her basar and the mayim. And it says Ram, and I'll explain to you in Hilchos Mikvaos three things: hamikvah kosher v'apostel, v'derech hatvila, u'mishpitei hachatzitza. So he identifies three categories. In Hilchos Mikvaos, I'll tell you what makes a mikvah. Okay, that's definitely a totally separate discussion. What makes a kosher a mikvah? But then look at the other two categories he describes. And I'll tell you, derech ha-tevila, what is tevila? And I'll also tell you, mishpatei ha-chatzitza, the rules relating to chatzitza. It could be that by identifying these three categories, and particularly category two and three, he's indicating that chatzitza, tevila with a chatzitza is a tevila. It's just there are mishpatei ha-chatzitza. Meaning there's derech ha-tevila, there's tevila, make sure tevila happens, and then separate from that, even if you make sure tevila happens, and even if you make sure it's kosher mikvah, aside from that, there's dinim al-chatzitza. But the dinim al-chatzitza are not whether there was a tevila, the dinim al-chatzitza are just about whether the tevila is going to help you. But the shame tevila you're going to have. So it could be, he suggests, that you have this machlokas between the Torah and the Rambam, if you read it in this way, where the Torah understands that a chatzitza means you don't have a shame tevila, and the Rambam says yes, shame tevila. It's just a, it's just also a, yeah, question.
According to what Rebbe is saying, the Torah wouldn't be able to be mechalik between the different types of chatzitzos, meaning you would have to say that by all of them it would be not a tefila b'chal. So it could be that where the Beis Yosef is coming from is that you can only read, maybe the Torah is saying that when it comes to our Torah, it's b'chal not a tefila. But when it's derabbanan, it's very hard to say that it's b'chal not a tefila.
Right. Okay. I mean, we're talking on a daraisa level, right? Meaning on a daraisa, I don't think on a drabana level you have makam to say that. Yeah, I think that's true. And it could be there are differences we'll see soon between kulo and rubo, and you know, in terms of that as well. And that's la halacha. Even Ramesh passes out la halacha. So we'll get to that in a second. Meaning it could be nafkaminas. Ramesh says nafkamina would be like this. Ramesh has a tshuva. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that you know, part of the chafifa, part of what a woman has to do in advance of going to the mikveh, is on the daraisa level, she has to be ma'ayin begufa. She has to look at her body and make sure that there are no chatzitzas on her body. So, okay, then meet the rabbanan, we added a whole bunch of layers to that. Takanas Ezra, Shetechov Eves Besara, Ezra was Masaki, she has to comb her hair, and then Omar Rava, the only Amigab Mutabis, Shetechov Medicha Bes Kamatea B'mayim, Rava in the Gemara Nida says that she has to rinse out the folds of her body between her toes and behind her ears, and any place where there could be dirt and sweat and things like that, she has to rinse that with water. And we have our minug that the woman bathes in the bath. Okay, fine, all those things. But the din midar raisa is that she's supposed to be ma'ayin begufa, just to look at her body. What if she went to the mikvah, forgot to even look at her body, just jumped in the mikvah, and then afterwards looked at her body and didn't see any chatzitzas on her? So can we assume, okay, I have no reason to assume there is a chatzitza, so the tevila must have been valid, so Shulchan Aruch Paskens says no. Got to go to the mikvah again. They have to go to the mikvah again. So Rav Moshe suggests that that's only true if you assume that there was no shem tevila. That a tevila with chatzitza is not a shem tevila. So you don't even know that you had a tevila. And if you don't even know that you had a tevila, so then you have to go again. But if you know, but if you say that a tevila with chatzitza has a shem tevila, and it's just a question whether it's also la, so then you know you had a tevila, you're just not sure if it was kosher or not. So the fact that you don't find any chatzitza on the body afterwards, well, okay, that would be good enough. Because as long as you know you have a tevila. So we'll see how Rav Moshe, so if every chakira needs a nafkamina, that might be the nafkamina. That's how Rav Moshe understands the nafkamina. So is it that it's a shame tevila, that it is a tevila, it's just that it's a tevila, it doesn't work when there's a chatzitza, or is it that it's not a tevila at all? Nafkamina would be if you don't even know if there was a chatzitza or not. Right? So what's the chazaka? Is the chazaka that there was a tevila, or the chazaka that there wasn't a tevila? So I'm going to present to you everything he says in the Sefer Meshuv Nefesh. He says the following. We already mentioned one possible source for Psul Chatzitza, V'rachatz Kol Besara B'mayim, but there's a second source as well. And it could be that the two sources reflect these two understandings of Chatzitza. The Gemara derives V'rachatz Kol Besara, that you can't have Dover Chotzitz Bein Besara L'mayim. So essentially, there isn't even a rechitza b'mayim if there's a chatzitza. Meaning, it's a chisaron in v'rachas chal b'sar b'mayim. By having chatzitza, you haven't been v'rachas chal b'sar b'mayim, which implies you haven't done tevila. That it's a chisaron in the tevila. On the other hand, the Sifra in Parshas Mitzora says v'rachas b'mayim v'tamei ad ha'erev hikish rechitza sa l'rechitza sa. That we compare a tevila of a zav to the tevila of a zav. Ma rechitza so binikius, af rechitza so binikius. The implication is, did you have? The word rechitza is often used in the Chumash to describe tevila. That's another piece of Meshuv Nefesh. Why that is, but okay, but it's synonymous with tevila. So what's the Sifra saying? Yeah, you had a tevila. The shaila is, did you have a tevila binikius? And I learned the din of chatzitza tell me that just like by the zav there's a din of rechitza so binikius, so too by a zava there's a din of rechitza so binikius. The implication is that if you go with a chatzitza, you had a rechitza, you had a tevila, it just wasn't a tevila binikius. So it could be that the two sources of where I learned that a chatzitza is possible might indicate, at least slightly indicate, in each direction. Right, that if it's the bracha called b'sar b'mayim l'mayit, when you have davar achotzi bin b'sar l'mayim, that means it's a chitzarin and bracha called b'sar b'mayim. You don't have a rachatz, you don't have a tevila. Whereas if you learn like the sifra, that it's not a lack of rachitz, it's a lack of rachitz bin akiyos. So rachitz bin akiyos means you had a tevila, you just didn't have a tevila bin akiyos. You didn't have a tevila that works. So he suggests five or six different ramifications of this or potential rayos. We know, as we just said, that mida oraisa, rubo ve'eno machbid, is not a problem. We can't really think of a case of a rubo ve'eno machbid. Obviously, none of our chatzitza shailas are rubo ve'eno machbid. Anyone ever have a case of rubo ve'eno? Is there something that covers the majority of the body that a person's and we can get to it yet? Machbid means that you're never machbid on a being there; that you're always perfectly happy with the being there. You would never mind it there. Like a woman who never ever takes off her ring, that would be eno makbid, right? But if she takes off her ring so much as to knead dough or to take a shower, that's called makbid already. So is there anything that would cover the majority of the body that is eno makbid? That type of chatzitza midrabanan is exceedingly rare, to the point that it never ever happens. The one time I thought I had a shiloh, I was so excited. I thought I had the shiloh of a rubah ve'eno makbid. A woman called me up, she was making a bar mitzvah, her son's bar mitzvah. It was like this time of year, like dead of winter, and the sun hadn't been out in like 3 months. And she said, I looked so pale in the pictures. So I went and I got a spray tan. So I don't know if they only spray tan her face and they cut it off at the neckline, or if she didn't spray tan the whole body, but I'm assuming they spray tan the whole body. So she said, I went and I got a spray tan. And I have a little tevila the night before the bar mitzvah. Was that a chatzitza? I got so excited, right? That's rubo, and eino makbid. She loved to look that good all the time to have the tan, right? She doesn't, I assume it looked, normal, not like orange like Donald Trump. I assume it, she looked normal. So she loved to look that good all the time. So I did some research on spray tans, but it turned out it's not a chatzitza b'chlal, sadly. she was able to go to the mikveh. the way spray tans work is that after your first shower, all the excess comes off in the shower, and everything else just becomes part of the skin. It's not even a foreign substance. Meaning, it's not that. Why does spray tan go away after some time? Not because it falls off. It gets scraped off of your skin, or when you sweat, that the color comes off. It's that your skin itself sheds. Meaning over time, your skin is always replacing itself. So it's only when your skin sheds itself and replaces itself that the spray tan goes away. So I think it's just part of the body. Yeah.
I don't think this would ever happen, but if you had like a crazy tattoo covered your whole body.
So your tattoo's under the skin. So that's, yeah. It could happen, right?
For a woman that has like tattoos all over her body.
Balas Tshuva, yeah. Or Gioras, or whatever. Yeah, do tevila legerus. With women, we don't see, obviously, because she's wearing a robe, but we do tevila for men gerim. We've seen some stuff, there's some, yeah.
The next line in the Sefer on the Torah is, Mar chita sobar moim sa'af, or chita sobar moim sa'af. Barry had to say that's a tevila, it's just a tevila.
He's saying, chita bin akiyos is the previous line, but the next line makes it clear that it's a...
Also, it's speaking of begadim, meaning it's saying, even if your begadim are loose, and it's a roi that the mind can go in, still right. It's going to be a chatitza if you have kelim on. There needs to be a kias. That's what the kias means.
Oh, really? That's what it says?
It says, Marachit says gufo benikios, av kibos begotot benikios, halamad nu chotitz in bekelim. It's not dealing with...
I don't think that's what it means.
I think that's what one of the Mepharshe Asifra says, but...
That even if you're wearing loose begadim?
I think it's about begadim. It's not about chatzitza on your skin. It's about specifically begadim.
No, because begadim can be a chatzitza.
Why do you need a specific reward for that?
I guess because people typically wear clothing. So because you're always wearing clothing, maybe you would consider it to be something that's not a chatzitza. Because it's something that's makrit, because you're always wearing clothing.
It's makrit from taking a bath. So I think that's where the first are coming from.
Yeah, I gotta look at this. I'm not sure. Because that's hard to say. I mean, the halacha we certainly not pass that way. It's well, it works if you're wearing this clothing. Right? We even recommend it sometimes. Okay. Now, the din is on a daraisa level. A rubav einu makbid is not a problem, right? So there, it's only a problem midraban. That was clear in the Gemara and in all those places, in Nida and in Sukkah and whatever. So why is that the case? Why is it that when I have rubav einu makbid, it's not a chatzitza? So Rashi explains in Erevin Tavdalaram days, the Ramask of Sheinu Makbid, that there's a chatzitza that when there's a chatzitza that you're not makbid about, it's bottled to the guf and it's not a chatzitza midaraisa. Your lack of hakpada means it just becomes part of your body. Since you never mind it being on your body, it's just part of you. So Rashi probably holds, the way he argues, is that a chatzitza takes away the entire maisa tvila. So you need to say that when eino makbid, it's bottled to the guf, and therefore you're in fact tovel the entire body. As opposed to, the other explanation is the Briska Rav in Mikvos, Perek Beis Halacha Tezayin, says that the hesber of why it is that rubo ve'eino makbid is not a problem on the daraisa level is the yesh kan al kol panim biasmayim ta biasmayim sha'al miktsaso chashuva biasmayim al kulo, because even if you have a rubo ve'eino makbid, at least you have biasmayim on some of your body, so biasmayim on some of your body counts as a biasmayim on your old body. It's enough to have biasmayim on part of the body midaraisa. So he probably understands that there's a maisa tevila even with the chatzitza, because he's saying you had a bias mayim, so you had a maisa tevila, so you only need a bias mayim and part of the body, and that's all you require for maisa tevila. On the flip side, what about a miut hamakbid? A miut hamakbid is also not a chatzitza on a daraisa level, only a chatzitza on a drabana level. Why is a miut hamakbid kosher on a daraisa level? So the Sidrei Tara over here in Kuf Tzadi Ches Aleph, at the beginning of Kuf Tzadi Ches, says very similar to the way Rashi explained about a Rubaveinu Makbid. He says that Chatzitzos Mira Makbid becomes batel to the guf. That when you have a Mira Makbid, it's just part of the body. It's only on a small part of the body, so therefore it just becomes batel to the guf. And again, seems to be something like Shitas Rashi, that a Chatzitzos Mafia the Tzvila entirely. So as long as you can make a batel to the guf, it's not going to be Mafia the Tzvila, then you will have had a Tzvila. Chazanish says, that's crazy. Wait a second. I understand Shitas Rashi. You want to tell me that a rubo she'enu makbid becomes part of the guf. Why is it part of the guf? Because I'm not makbid. Meaning, if a woman never ever, let's say, takes off a ring, or a woman, let's say, never ever takes off, a dress. Like, there's a dress she wears every single day for her whole life. She showers in the dress, she sleeps in the dress. So that dress is part of her. She's never makbid. It just becomes part of her body. The ring that she always wears, her wedding ring that she doesn't take off when she needs dough, and she doesn't take off when she takes a shower, and she doesn't take off ever. She never takes it off. That just becomes part of her body. It just becomes part of her. But are you going to tell me that a miut hamakbid becomes part of you? That doesn't make any sense. You're makbid. How can you say something you're makbid about becomes part of your body? So for that reason, Chazanish rejects the Sidrei Tara. He says it doesn't make any sense. Rashi makes sense at least. But to say it about a Mira Makbid. So instead, the Chazanish writes, why is it Taka that a Mira Makbid is kosher midoraisa? Again, talking from a Doraisa perspective, it's all possible midrabana. But why is it kosher midoraisa? Shekulo tochamayim, virubo nogea bimayim. The entire body is submerged. Most of the body is actually touching the water. Hechshivasa Torah litvila. So the Torah considers that to be a tevila, which is very similar to the way the Griz explains Rubaveinu Makbid, right? So that seems to assume that even with a chatzitza, there is a tevila, but just the chatzitza would make it not work. So if most of the body comes in contact with the water, the tevila can work midoraisa. A potential nafkamina might be, if the Mira Makbid, let's say you have a Mira Makbid, but that Mira Makbid is not a ring, it's not a, an item of clothing, the Mira Makbid is someone else's hand. Alright, it'll be someone else's hand. Sometimes a woman, she's just afraid to dip under, one of the most challenging, you wouldn't expect it, but one of the most challenging parts of Gevus is that there are a lot of people that just are afraid of the water. And they can't, they're like stick their face on the surface of the water. We're like, no, that's not good enough. Like, you gotta dip all the way. And they're like, okay, this time I'll do it. Like, they do even less. Like, the tip of their nose on the water. We're like, okay, this is gonna be rough. You know, like, so sometimes you need a mikvah lady to be a little aggressive and, you know, and shove her under the water. But what if the mikvah lady shoves her under the water and keeps her hand on her the whole time, doesn't lift her hand off of her? So you have someone else's hand that's serving as a mira matbin, right? She doesn't always want this hand on her head, you know, this other person's hand on her head. So she's matbin, but it's only a miyut, it's only on part of her body. So it's a mira matbin. So if you're going to say the lumpness of why mira matbin is not a problem, midoraisa, is because it's bottled to the guf. You could say a ring is bottled to the guf. To say someone else's guf is bottled to your guf, that's a lot harder to say. But if you say that it's not a din in being bottled to the guf, it's just that you only need that rove of the water, that your entire body is submerged, that rove of your body is actually touching the water. So you're allowed, midoraisa, you're allowed to ignore the little bit that's not touching the water. And I don't care what that foreign matter is, whether it's a ring or whether it's someone else's hand or anything else. It wouldn't make a difference. That might be nafkamina. Would someone else's hand on your body be psul midoraisa or psul midrabanan? See, if you learn like the Sidrei Tara, the Chorot Psul Midaraisa, because there's no way you could say someone else's hand is bottled to your guf. But if you learn like the Chazon Ish, then it would still only Vayter only be Psul Midrabanan. It would be Kasher on a Daraisa level. Another ramification is that there's a machlokas whether min bimino is the chatzitza by tefila, right? You know, like by tefillin, let's say, right? So min b'mino zeinu chotzeis. You're not supposed to have a chatzitza between your tefillin and your arm. That's a famous tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak. We've talked about tattoos before. And Minchas Yitzchak has a famous tshuva where a guy became a bal tshuva and he had a massive tattoo on his left bicep of a naked woman. And he felt uneasy about putting on tefillin every day over this massive tattoo. So the shayla is that considered that you're making a bracha in front of erva, this or that, you know. So it's not erva, it's his own skin, it's just there's a picture on his own that was drawn on his own skin. So obviously tattoo removal would probably be recommended in such a way. We don't always require tattoo removal, meaning if a person got a tattoo they didn't have erva, but you don't need to get it removed necessarily, but in that case, we probably recommend tattoo removal. But in the meantime, says the Minchas Yitzchak, what you should do is take a piece of leather, get like a leather sleeve, and put the piece of leather over the tattoo, over the bicep. And by doing that, it's not going to be a chatzitza because it's min bimino of the tefillin, and min bimino is ein chotzeit. So chatzitza is only with a different min. Right, the rings we make around the lulav are lulav leaves themselves. Min b'mino zeinu chotzeitz. It's not going to be a problem of a chatzitza. So what about when it comes to tevila? Would we say min b'mino zeinu chotzeitz? So the Avnei Nezer says that min b'mino is a chatzitza, and that's probably because if your entire body doesn't Avnei Nezer in Yardesim Reis Samachvav Os Yud Zayin, that if your entire body doesn't touch the water, then it's not a shame tevila at all. So there's no room to be makil. You know, if it's not a shame tevila when your body doesn't touch the water, I don't care that it's min bimino. Whereas Rav Elchanan in Kovei Ta'aros, in the Hosafos, at the end of the Sefer, in Oz Dalid, even though he explicitly says the lamdas is not this way, but at least he holds a shita that it would not be a problem of chatzitza. And even though he doesn't say the lamdas this way, maybe a lamdas could be said that the reason it would not be a problem with chatzitza is that there is a shame tevila when there is a chatzitza. It's just that the chatzitza ruins the efficacy of the tevila. But if it's min b'mino, then that chatzitza is not going to ruin the effectiveness and the chalos of the tahara on such a tevila. And then another ramification might be the din that the Gemara in Yevamos has. Gemara in Yevamos Taf Ayin Ches has a din that even though Rubo ve'eno makbid is not a chatzitza midoraisa, is only chatzitza midrabanan, but if you have kulo, then that's a problem midoraisa. If let's say the entire body, you go into the mikveh in a bubble, right? The entire body is covered with something, then that's chatzitza midoraisa. So kulo she'eno makbid is chatzitza midoraisa. Why? So that Briska Rav explains Diafal gav dizeh halach l'moshe misinai, that same piece in Briskarov, right, that it were in Hilchos Mikvos based Hazayin. Diafal gav dizeh halach l'moshe misinai, didin chatzitza tali b'makbir alav, that even though we have halach l'moshe misinai, that we're not makbir, it's not l'chatzitza, avon l'kamakom, kiven shu kulo m'chusa, im kein hare ein kan bias mayim klal. Since it's entirely covered, you don't have bias mayim. Yishum hachi, lo dainin b'zeh klal dine chatzitza, v'lo nemer b'zeh halacha, deinu makbir, deinu chotzitz. So Briskarov understands that a chatzitza b'miut is a shem tevila, a chatzitza b'kulo is not even a tevila at all. So maybe, you could parse it out that way, that not every chatzitza is the same, that a chatzitza on some of your body is a shem tevila just without the effectiveness of a tevila, whereas a chatzitza on the entire body is not even a shem tevila at all. The Gemara goes on to say, and I'm just giving you 3 more minutes here, the Gemara goes on to say, the idea of Hainu Rabise. The Gemara says, wait a second. If Kulo is a chatzitza on a daraisa level, how could it be that when a woman is being megayer, a pregnant woman is being megayer, the halacha is that the baby in utero does not need its own tevila, the tevila of the mother counts for the baby. But the baby is entirely covered by the mother, right? There's no amount of mikvah water is touching the baby at all. So shouldn't that be a problem of chatzitza? So the Gemara says, probably daraisa of chatzitza? The Gemara says, no, Hainu Rabise. The baby can't grow and sustain itself and nourish itself without the mother. The baby needs the mother around him in order to live at that point in time. And therefore, it's not a chatzitza. So a pregnant woman's tevila for geirus works for the fetus because of Hainu Rabise. So if a chatzitza is a psul in the maisa tevila, then we're being mechadish that there's no psul in the maisa tevila when it's Hainu Rabise. But if chatzitza makes it that there's no tevila at all, then a little harder to explain this din, right? You can say that a chatzitza bekulo means that there was no tevila. So why is the fact that he needs the? I mean, if it's a technical din of chatzitza that you had a tevila, but there was a chatzitza, so you can say, okay, but if I need mommy there, then it's not a chatzitza. Then mommy's not a chatzitza. But if you say that it's not a shame tevila at all, that when you're entirely covered by something else and you don't touch the water at all, that it's not a shame tevila, why does the fact that you need mommy change anything? It's not a shame tevila. So then you really need to work on it a little bit. You'd have to say that when you need the chatzitza, it doesn't count as it's as if you're touching the water. It's something like that, which becomes much harder. And then the final ramification of this chakira is the status of Beis Hastarim. The Gemara Nidat of Samuk Vav says that Beis Hastarim needs to be royally Beis Hastarim, doesn't need Beis Hastarim. Meaning the human body has 3 zones on the human body as far as chatzitza is concerned. There's galui, that which is exposed to the atmosphere, your arms, your legs, your back, your torso, whatever, your head. Right? Then there's balua. Balua is the parts that are never, ever exposed to the atmosphere. Your internal organs, right? A woman is for sure allowed to go to the mikveh even if there's food in her stomach. Aye, but isn't the food a chatzitza? No, it's balua. It's inside, completely inside the body. And then there's like this in-between area, the beis hastarim. Beis hastarim are parts of the body that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed. Your eyes are a beis hastarim because you close your eyes, they're not exposed. You open them, they're exposed. Your eyelids are a beis hastarim because you open your eyes, they're not exposed. You close your eyes, they are exposed. The inside of your mouth is a beis hastarim, right? There are parts of the body that are a beis hastarim. So the halacha by a beis hastarim is that you don't need bias mayim. You don't need water to hit the beis hastarim, but you're not allowed to have a chatzitza in the beis hastarim. So that's what the Gemara says. Beis hastarim needs ro'i l'bias mayim. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? So Tosfos writes in Nida Daf Samuch Vav Beis mid'oraisa, whereas the Ramban in Kiddushin Chafei says that it's a din mid'rabbanan. So now, if chatzitza is a psul in the hechsher tevila, meaning that there was a maisa tevila, it's just that the tevila doesn't work, then it makes sense that chatzitza in the beis hastarim could also ruin the tevila mid'oraisa, because you had your maisa tevila. It's just that when there's a chatzitza, the tevila doesn't do its magic. It doesn't work. But if chatzitza makes it that there was no bias mayim, if that's what chatzitza does, that it's as if you never went into the mikveh, you never had a bias mayim in the mikveh, how could you say that midoraisa chatzitza in the beis hastarim is a problem? There's no bias mayim in the beis hastarim anyway. A woman doesn't open her mouth in the mikveh. So in reality, there's no bias mayim.
If you're going to tell me it's a technical halachic inyan, so good, that halachic inyan can apply in the mouth also. But if you tell me that the whole problem of chatzitza is that it's a lack of bias mayim, so in the parts of your body you don't need a bias mayim, why should chatzitza be a problem? It's a little bit more difficult to understand. Unless you say that the whole reason, the whole problem of a chatzitza based on starm is only midrabanan. But in fact, as we pointed out before, Ramesha writes in Yardei, Chelek Aleph, Siman Tzadiches, Ramesha is mechadesh, that a chatzitza b'makom megula on the guf is mevatel l'shem tevila, whereas a chatzitza b'beis hastarim is just a psul in the hechsher tevila. And he therefore concludes that if a woman forgot to check her beis hastarim for chatzitzos, and then after the tevila didn't find anything, the tevila would still work. The din that you don't rely on a post-tevila check is only on Mekomos HaGluyim, because in the case of Mekomos HaGluyim, we're not sure if there was a tevila at all. Whereas in Beis HaStarim, we know that there was a tevila. We're just not sure if the tevila worked. We're just not sure if the tevila was Mawil in the Beis HaStarim. Okay, so that's a little bit of the lumdus of the of Chatzitza. Tomorrow we'll pick up with assessing the different types of Chatzitzas, Midaraisa, Midrabanan, all of that fun stuff, the hair, and then we'll get into Beis HaStarim as well.